And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode and our fearless leader Chase McCabe on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rexrode down live in New Orleans in advance of Tennessee LSU. So looking forward to that one. Big game for the Vols coming up this weekend. We'll get to that. Got a lot to get to on the program here today. Tier Tart, Titans defensive tackle, and the hero of last week with a great interception, joining us at 7:15 today here on the program, our man Teron Davenport at 8 o'clock as well. Joe Rexrode, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing wonderful. Good to hear
from you. We hear you loud and clear, Mr. Rexrode.
Good to hear from you.
I had no idea. I hope you enjoy the painting of a chandelier behind me on the wall. It's not a real chandelier, but it's a very nice painting.
Well, I mean, look, you're in New Orleans, so like, what are the chances that maybe your room's haunted? I think there's a chance that could be the case.
There's a great chance of that. Everything's haunted. Also, I think I should, I haven't given an update at the beginning of the month. 227.
Okay.
Which is a loss of 28 pounds. And I'm saying that now because based on last night and what may be ahead, there's probably about 15 coming back on here real quick. So I want that on the record right now.
Maybe a slight detour in the weight loss journey going down to New Orleans. It's been known to do that a time or two.
Yeah. Might be a toughie.
Speaking of a toughie, hanging there. I'd like to congratulate the Indianapolis Colts and the Denver Broncos on potentially the worst football game ever played. Last night, the Colts win 12-9 in overtime. Mercifully, that one ended last night at some point, and somebody actually won the game, and it was the Indianapolis Colts, who now improve to 2-2-1 on the season, Joe Rexrode, in a game where there were no touchdowns scored, both quarterbacks were terrible, and the Colts somehow found a way to be less terrible than the Broncos were in that game. They get it done 12-9 last night on the road. On Thursday Night Football with no Jonathan Taylor, and my goodness, what a terrible football game that was.
Well, let me do another thing where I need to personally divulge something. We're here for our 20th anniversary, and I made Katie Rexrode watch that game with me last night. So again, like there should be some sort of severe punishment headed my way now. I mean, there's so many different things that you can complain about with this game. Let's just go to the very end where just genius, your guy, Nathaniel Hackett, just an absolute wizard out there. Let's get into shotgun.
It's been rough.
Because it's 4th-and-1. There's 3 minutes left. We could tie it and there'd still be plenty of time to get a stop and win. But hey, let's go for it and let's just get into shotgun and just pretend like it's 4th-and-8. Because, we'd have limited space in the end zone, so let's throw into the end zone when we just need a yard to get a first down. I can't even blame Rust for being bad now. It must be just being around Hackett, right? Like, just being in the room with Hackett is making him terrible. Is this what's going on?
It turns out that maybe when you're the offensive coordinator at a place and you're not calling plays, maybe there's a problem. Like, there's a problem, and he's been awful through the first five games. Like, Russell Wilson looks like Drew Locke out there right now. And is that because it's Russell Wilson has just all of a sudden completely fallen off the table? Maybe. Like, if so, let me tell you what, that contract's going to be fun for Denver for the next few years. Or is, like, Hackett that bad? Now, I will say, on the last play, K.J. Hamler's wide open in the end zone. And if Russell Wilson can just, see him, they probably win that game. I mean, and Hamler was irate after the game.
Mad.
He's slamming his helmet in the end zone, but good gracious. I mean, think about these stats last night. Russell Wilson threw two interceptions in the game, 21-39, 274 yards. Matt Ryan threw two interceptions and lost another fumble, by the way. He fumbled twice last night, so he's up to 11 fumbles on the year in five games. And the Colts still ended up winning that game. They turned the ball over three times last night. Just absolutely brutal.
Dude, on the post game, they showed they showed like Matt Ryan addressing the team,
Yeah.
And you look, a lot of the dudes' faces were like, okay. I mean, it's like they're already like, you're bad, man. You're bad.
It's terrible.
Oh, yeah. It's the thing about Matt Ryan is, and look, I mean, I give him credit for making some plays late in games. I mean, he's making some plays late in games to give them. I mean, you know, they, I. I mean, this only happens if this only happens because of the awful pick six, awful pick six by Russell Wilson to the guy who Jared's film room told us can't play anymore, Stephon Gilmore. But Matt Ryan it's basically like in a given game, maybe like 40% of the time he'll look like an NFL quarterback, and the rest he looks like my 73-year-old uncle at the family picnic. I mean, it's just. I don't even know if I have a 70, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
I shouldn't be calling people out right now at 6:05 a.m., but it was astoundingly bad. And next week, Bears Commanders.
Oh, yeah. Get excited. Look, I'll say this. There's no way that Bears Commanders on Thursday Night Football will be as bad as what we saw last night, right? Like, I probably shouldn't say that because
I'm willing to say it probably could be.
It could be. You're right. It could be. But my goodness, it's just awful. And, like, if you're a Broncos fan right now, and we heard some of this last night in the stadium, and they were just booing left and right, and I don't blame them. But just think about, like, the draft capital and everything you gave up to get Russell Wilson, and think about the first 5 weeks of what you've seen from this team offensively. Like, I mean, the good news – I mean, you were 2-1, so you started off, you know, okay, all things relatively speaking. But now you're 2-3, and this offense has been – one of the worst offenses in the league. Think about what they're feeling right now with Russell Wilson. Like, this is what we traded for? Oh, my gosh. Just terrible.
Yeah, it is. And just, and you know, knowing, and I know that, like, there's been, you know, other members of that incredible division have had their ups and downs, too. But, like, knowing that you lost that game now, too, you know? I mean, I'll tell you what, there's a game that on the Titans schedule, and I know, you know, they're about to go into another game they should win. Yep. And we know how that goes sometimes, but I look differently at that game now. Denver coming in here, it's like that could look like the Tua, the Dolphins coming in here last year by then. You know, just like, man, just here, just let us just punt to you.
It's terrible. And then from the Colts perspective, we threw out the question yesterday, Joe, like, was that game a must win for the Colts? And you know, obviously they got two big ones coming up after this, and Jacksonville coming to Indy and then going to the Titans as well. So two more divisional games for the Colts right on the horizon after this. And those are going to, I think, still go a long way to determining what their season ultimately looks like. But as bad as they were last night, it with no Jonathan Taylor and no Shaq Leonard, and Nyheim Hines goes down in the game as well, and you get a win to show for it. As bad as it was and as bad as they look, here they are, 2-1 again. So, you know, you had a perfect opportunity. If you're a Titans fan last night, you're irate with Nathaniel Hackett and the Broncos. I mean, the opportunity was there for them to lose that game. And if they're 1-3-1 heading into the Jacksonville game last night, you're feeling pretty good about the Colts' chances of maybe being sunk in this thing. But they find a way. They get it done, 12-9.
Yeah, look, I will say this, their defense was good. I mean, you know, like the Broncos have been bad this year. They have not been this bad, right?
No.
And this is playing a team that, you know, I feel like it's always obviously tougher for the team on Thursday nights who has to go on the road. Colts D showed up last night. And I do think that they got some of those guys who are older, but again, there's a Gilmore last night who actually looked like a pretty good cornerback, I thought. So they're not dead yet. I know it's like 10 days from now, but Jags at Colts. Yeah. Who are Titans fans rooting for in that game?
Root for the Jags.
Rooting for the Jags?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
I think.
Todd from Jacksonville says, do that at your own risk, yeah, buddy. Duval, have this sucker wrapped up by Thanksgiving. Okay.
I could eat those words later when the last game of the year is for the AFC South divisional title, like we've talked about a lot down in Jacksonville. But for now, root for the Jags. We'll see. I mean, I still don't think the Colts are any good. I'm still not willing to quite be a believer yet in the Jags either.
Well, by the way, Todd from Jacksonville tweeted at me the other day, and he was like, you know, I thought that last game might be for the division, but actually, because of their two-team schedules, it's like basically he's saying, like, by then, the Jags probably have it wrapped up.
So. Yeah,
the
Jags will have it done by week
13. FYI.
Yeah, just go ahead and print the T-shirts for the AFC South championship for the Jags. I will say one bright spot last night for the Colts offensively, and let me tell you, you've got to search to find a bright spot offensively for this group after what we've seen thus far this year. I will say Alec Pierce looked pretty darn good last night. 8 catches, yeah. 81 yards on 9 targets. That is probably like the worst case scenario if you're the Titans, of Jonathan Taylor coming back and being healthy for that game, and all of a sudden like Alec Pierce, just figuring it out and the switch flipping on for him. That would not be good.
Well, and you could, I guess you could maybe thank Caleb Farley for the switch initially being, you know, jiggled a little bit there, because he made a couple big plays that game. Yeah, no, he looks like a pretty decent player. That they badly need that. Obviously, you get a play here and there from Paris Campbell, but a steady diet receiver who can actually go out and make plays, that he might be one. Might not be over for the Colts, everybody.
May not be, although I don't know how you can watch that game if you're a Colts fan and be anything elated, near confident after that win, 12-9 last night on Thursday Night Football. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we've looked at this matchup for the Titans against the Commanders. How does their offense match up in this game? We'll get into that coming up next. Take your thoughts as well, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Chase McCabe here with you on this Friday morning. We didn't ask Chase how he was doing. Chase, how are you?
I'm good. I'm awake now. I got coffee. I walked in and I told David Janes, our overnight producer, I said, let Rex Road know that my coffee is more important than a Zoom link.
Yeah.
So, you know.
No, hey, honestly, I'm totally sympathetic to that, man. It's good to have another coffee drinker in the studio.
Yeah. Sometimes you just need it.
Sometimes you do. The Commanders and the Titans coming up this weekend, Joe. Rex Road, we've talked a lot about Carson Wentz and the turnovers, which, by the way, hey, congratulations to Matt Ryan last night with 2 more interceptions. He's now already matched the season interception total for Carson Wentz last year. So this massive upgrade that we were talking about and sold all offseason already tied Carson Wentz in interceptions last year, 5 games into the season. But that's neither here nor there. Joe Rex Road, I ask you, as you look at this Titans offense, and believe it, we know that the second half struggles have been a constant conversation and something that has to change for the Titans as they move into this game. But as you look at this matchup for the Titans offensively, how do you think the Titans offense matches up against this Washington defense heading into the game, particularly with the way that Derrick Henry has run the ball and has been involved in the game plan in the first half the last couple of weeks? First view of the day for Rex Road. Only took 1 second.
Oh my God. So I just spoke off on myself too. The cap came off. Man, now Chase is just so alert and just all over the place here. That was good. Now I'm totally flustered. So here's the thing with the Titans and their offense. They obviously need to run the ball. Can we buy into, defensive stats through 4 games? I mean, Washington is right middle of the pack, 4.4 per rush. They're giving up 112 a game. Both of those are 16th in the league. Their pass defense numbers are terrible. They're among the worst in the league. Okay, so
big day coming for Tannehill.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have Chase Young, obviously. They do have really, Payne and Allen inside. Vrabel talked about them a lot this week. Can you run the ball? The Titans can run the ball like they have, way better in the last 2 games. I think everything opens up for them. Again, we talked about that Washington secondary. The numbers match up with, like, who are these guys? When you look at who they have, but I'm sure those guys are also looking at the Titans pass game and not trembling in fear right now. Run the ball. If you can bottle up really the last 2 first halves, the mix of run pass, a little bit of unpredictability, getting different people involved, then I think they should have success. You got to handle those guys inside. Last week they had Buckner and Stewart. That's a really good tandem too, and they ran really well, obviously, especially in one half compared to the other.
Well, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Sometimes you can get through here, and the passing statistics can be a little bit deceiving as to what the team really is. For instance, I mean, the New York Jets right now have the fourth best passing attack in the league at 277 yards per game. So shout out to Joe Flacco and Zach Wilson for getting that done. But I don't think anybody's really shaking in their boots and they're scared of the New York Jets. You look at the Titans, we brought this up yesterday, with the way that they play, they're at 185 yards a game right now passing. And only the Steelers, the Falcons, the Panthers, the Giants, and the Chicago Bears, who somehow are averaging 97.5 yards a game passing at the moment, are worse. So it's not been great for the Titans passing game thus far from a pure numbers perspective. I do think there's going to be an opportunity to throw the ball. Honestly, Joe, this would be, I think, a great opportunity for Treylon Burks, and unfortunately for the Titans, probably not going to be out there.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, I mean, he you know, not officially, but I'd be shocked if there's even a consideration. He hasn't been practicing, of course. So that's of course, another question is who's stepping up with Burks out. Again, I think Phillips, different spot, but I just think in terms of being on the field and being involved in the offense, there's one of the answers. The Titans could really use that this week, him to be healthy enough to get more snaps and to make some plays. But, hey, Westbrook and Kine and Woods could have had some numbers last week. And, you know, Tannehill's got to get them the ball. I mean, those guys can make plays against this secondary. Obviously, Woods can, but I think Westbrook and Kine can too.
One thing that was a development yesterday, Joe, that is, I think, worth keeping your eye on as this week goes along here, you know, the Titans, obviously, they don't need any more people banged up on the offensive line. Well, you had Ben Jones yesterday get added to the injury report with a back injury. He was a limited participant. And also Nate Davis added to the injury report as well with a knee injury, and he didn't practice on Thursday. So, you know, obviously when he's a full participant on Wednesday and not added to the injury report, and then all of a sudden Thursday come around and he's got a knee, something to keep an eye on there with Nate Davis. And, you know, we had just praised Ben Jones the other day for not being hurt and not even finding himself on the injury report, and here he is on Thursday limited with a back.
Yeah, I wish you wouldn't have reminded people because we completely jinxed him there. We did. Yeah, there's been no problems for Ben Jones, and now you have this. The Nate Davis thing. Now, Nate Davis has been on the injury report with a knee. This season. I don't know if it's the exact same thing. Sometimes these things are, they're like scheduled, like you're going to take this day off. We're going to just kind of have you on a pitch count. It could be that, but obviously if it's like a new development or a setback, then yeah, you're digging deep. I guess we may be, you know, we'll be talking about Dylan Raidens at some point. And because, you know, here's the thing, like Ben Jones getting hurt, were that to happen where he had to leave, I would think that Aaron Brewer, I would think it could be Levin, but a decent chance it could be Brewer sliding over and then like a Raidens coming in at left guard. Not something the Titans obviously want to get into. But, yeah, that's the injury report in general. You still have some obvious questions, on the defensive side of the ball. You have the obvious question, this says Titans versus Indianapolis. It's not. It's Titans versus Washington. I'm like, wait, am I looking at last week's injury report? No. Adeney, still not in there with the neck. Cunningham, still not in there with the elbow. Dupree, still not in there with the hip. So
not good.
Not good. And then you have Hooker. And I don't know what this means, on the concussion protocol, didn't practice after a limited participant Wednesday. You wouldn't expect him to go down to not practicing, I don't think, but yeah, we'll find out on that today. I mean, there's one tiny, tiny piece of good news, which is Ugo Amadi is full this week. So he's going to start. I mean, I can tell you he's going to start at corner. Oh, and by the way, Caleb Farley, also new. Yep. And it's neat. So just add that to the pile of, setbacks for Caleb Farley right now. Limited knee.
Well, I mean, this is obviously a new development of Titans having problems on the injury report. They've not had any injury problems really the last couple of years, have they? Nothing new here.
It's amazing. They also put up the stat that they have already used the most defensive starters, which isn't surprising as we've talked about. It's like, I mean, who knows? It's defensive starter roulette with this team. But they lead the league, in case anybody was wondering, with let me get that number for you. They lead the league with, is it 19 starters? Yes. Number one in the league. They've already had 19 defensive starters in four games. So they've almost fielded like two full teams of starting defensive players in less than a quarter of a season.
It's amazing to think about. But yet, here we are with the Titans. And, Joe, I've said it all week. I'm not gonna chalk this one up as a win for the Titans. Like, you brought it up yesterday, and I think it's a great point. They're not really good enough right now to be looking past anybody, much less, you know, the Washington Commanders. They've had a tough start to the season. But this is a game where the Titans, they need to bring their A game. And I'm interested to see if they can. Like, they've not really done it for a full game thus far. I think this is an opportunity to do it coming up in this game. But if you're a Titans fan, this is exactly the type of game that makes you nervous. And I wonder, like, Titans fans sitting here today on Friday coming off a big emotional win against the Colts, how nervous are you heading into this game on the road in Washington against a team that pretty much everybody around the league is going to pick you to beat?
Yeah. And I mean, that's true. I mean, how many people are actually going to pick Washington to win this game?
Very
few. Probably not many. But again, like, can you play this poorly and overlook anyone? Can you play this poorly through four games and overlook anyone?
I would hope not.
Because that's where it's different from these recent years where they've stumbled, you know. Usually they're, and I know they've won two in a row, but usually there's also the element of like they just had a really impressive win or they're on a streak, but they look like a good team. They look like a way better team than the Commanders. Look, I'm not saying they don't look like a better team than the Commanders. I don't even know what is the line, by the way. I don't even know what it is.
I can look.
It's moved. It's moved a lot. Last I checked,
toward the Titans.
Well, last I checked, Titans were a 1.5-point favorite, and it opened at like 3.
Oh boy!
Wow. So okay. So the money is saying people are actually not sure. I mean, if I was Vrabel, I'd tell my team that. See,
it's Titans minus 2.5 on FanDuel
so
right
it's,
now.
Okay, yeah. It's 1.5 on Superbook.
Okay.
So if I'm Vrabel, I'm telling my team, you know what? Vegas thinks that if we were on a neutral field, they'd be favored against us. What do you guys think about that, huh?
Yeah, just play that underdog card anytime you can do it if you're Vrabel. It's a good one. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to look at the matchup between the Titans and the Washington Commanders. What about defensively? Have the Titans turned a corner in one specific area that I think could be very important as they move forward here? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune into the college football game of the week on 94.9 The Fan this Saturday, tomorrow, as MTSU takes on UAB at 2:30. College football game of the week brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports and Superbook Sports as well. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Washington Commanders. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. By the way, Joe, have you gotten used to Washington Commanders yet? I think I finally have.
Yeah, for the most part. I actually still kind of have that Washington football team impulse a little bit. Honestly, I think I like Washington football team better. Is it okay to just call them Washington football team?
Call them whatever you want.
I call them the Washington Commanders football team.
Yeah, there we go. I like that.
Oh, that's true. WC, WCFT.
Yeah.
What, WCFT, WTF.
Well, I need Titans fans this week. Apparently there's a decent contingent of Titans fans going to FedEx Field, which God bless you if you're going to FedEx Field this weekend. But I need some Titans fans to tell me if what they had on sale for the first game in Washington is still there. And we talked about this earlier this week, Joe, the coffee cups that have the outline of the state of Washington behind the W logo and not the D.C. area. I need Titans fans to let me know. Is that still something that they're just kind of tossing around up there at FedEx Field?
Well, listen, now this is the nation's capital, and all states in the nation matter to the nation's capital.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's what I would say if I put out a press release apologizing for this idiocy.
Yes. So, Joe, I said there's one area where I'm interested to see if the Titans have turned a corner, and I think based on the quarterback that they're playing against this week, there's another opportunity to continue to build on it. We talked about the Titans' defense needing to force more turnovers, and they did that against the Colts and Matt Ryan. Now, you know, Matt Ryan apparently has a very big propensity for fumbling the football, considering that he's done it 11 times thus far in 5 games. You know, Carson Wentz, from that aspect, has been more secure with the football thus far. I think he's only fumbled once throughout the season. He does have 5 interceptions, but certainly the Titans are very well aware of Carson Wentz and his propensity maybe every now and then throw a bad pick or two. And in a game like this where, you know, Vegas tells you the line is close and they're expecting a close game, turnovers can oftentimes be the difference. Mike Vrabel has been harping on forcing more turnovers for years now. And, you know, the Titans did a good job of that this past Sunday against Indy. I think another opportunity to do that coming up this Sunday, and I'm curious to see, you know, can they be opportunistic from that standpoint a couple of weeks in a row on the defensive side of the ball? Really 3 weeks in a row when you think about, you know, Kevin Byard forcing the big one against the Raiders too.
Yeah, no, they've been way better at being opportunistic. Now, how many times did Matt Ryan fumble against the Titans? Was it 2 or 3?
I believe he fumbled 3 times and he lost a couple of them.
So that's the thing. It's almost like, you know, you have to put an asterisk next to this that they lead the NFL. They tie for the NFL lead with 6 forced fumbles. It's like Matt Ryan gave them 3 of those, but still, they're, you know, 6 forced fumbles. That's the most the Titans have had through 4 games of a season since 2008. They had 8 at that point. So although Matt Ryan gave him a little bit of an assist, like, again, they have been more opportunistic. They've been better at that this year after, you know, again, go back to the playoff game. Like, it is amazing that Joe Burrow never fumbled. Got sacked every other play and didn't fumble one time. You look at this list of teams with the forced fumble. The Eagles are up there. Yeah, the Titans have recovered 3 of the 6. The Eagles have also forced 6 and have recovered 5 of the 6, which is that's a heck of a rate.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of you take that and you look at Washington. And like you said, we know Carson Wentz can be prone to making the big mistake. You're also talking about a team that they're giving up 9.88% sack. That's sacks per pass attempt. That's 29th in the league. They can't protect him. He gets hit all the time. His interception rate's 2.91%. That's 24th. And then, you have the Titans being opportunistic. Yeah, there should be an expectation of turnover Sunday in the Titans' favor.
There should be. And I'd be interested to know one thing that's always been kind of fascinating to me about Carson Wentz, and I heard, you know, some Colts people talking about this last year too, is, you know, getting the ball out quickly, not typically something he's very good at. Like, he likes to hold on to the ball and try to make some plays down the field. Now, I'll say this, you know, with Terry McLaurin out there and some of the weapons that they have on that side of the ball, you know, they're going to have the opportunity, the ability to make some plays down the field if you're the Commanders. So if you're the Titans, you got to be aware of that, obviously. But, you know, I think there will be some opportunities to get to Carson Wentz in this game. Now, the drawback is, as we mentioned the injury report in the last segment, if Ola Adeniyi continues to not be able to go on the practice field and he can't play coming up on Sunday, and obviously Bud Dupree still dealing with a hip injury, he has not practiced Wednesday or Thursday. If you're shorthanded on your pass rush heading into this game, that is not good. Like, one of the ways that you can force some turnovers for Carson Wentz, or really any quarterback, put some pressure in his face, and I don't know how often the Titans are going to be able to do that if Bud Dupree and Ola Adeniyi aren't going to be available.
Well, with an offensive line this bad, Simmons, Autry, you know, that's where it has to come from. And,
yep.
And you know, look, I mean, Rashad Weaver is a guy who he's also at this point, I got to find this stat for Rashad Weaver. He is the second most sacks for a Titans player in the first four games of a season in the last 10 years. So he's right there with Derek Morgan and Brian Arakpo. Man, look at the names on this list.
Oh, yeah.
But you got to count on him. If it's going to be Noah Daney, if it's going to be Noah Dupree, you got to count on Weaver with Autry, with Simmons. That should be enough against a team that is this bad at protecting, that is this bad up front. I mean, there are a lot of bad offensive lines, as we've talked about in the NFL, but this one looks particularly bad. So then, Mario Edwards. I mean, who's going to be out there if this is a case? You're looking at probably a little bit of Mario Edwards, who,
What's Brooks Reed doing nowadays?
I don't know. I mean, he could be doing nothing today, and then he could be in town and tomorrow and starting Sunday for the Titans.
Free agent.
I'm actually coming up on I'm coming up blank. I'm like, what's their outside linebacker crew then on Sunday if they don't have a Daney and Dupree?
Well, they've been moving, Joe Jones over there a little bit too, but he's found himself on the injury report too.
Right. Yeah. They've moved him out there some in games. I mean, Autry, will be moved around and things like that. I mean, look, if there's a game, I'm sure no one would ever utter this in the building, but can you get through this game and Autry, Simmons, Weaver, Tart, get in there, and can you get through this game, still get enough pressure, do what you need to do defensively, then you have the week, and then you start to get your players back, as opposed to keep putting Bud Dupree out there, and then after like 3-4 plays, he hurts the hip again. I mean, if they lose and somebody could have gone, then obviously you regret that, but I think you got to look at it that way.
Well, and it's going to be, a different game stylistically than what they just played against the Colts. When we talked about, Dylan Cole having a big game, Joe Schobert having a big game in that game, obviously David Long Jr. and the role that he played. Not to say that Washington can't run the football, but it's not Jonathan Taylor barreling down on you like it was last week for the Titans. So probably a little bit more of the Commanders trying to get people in space in this matchup. And how do guys like Dylan Cole and, Joe Schobert and David Long Jr. handle that when it comes to this matchup in particular? Because, I mean, Joe, at this point, with Zach Cunningham's elbow and the way that things have gone the last couple of weeks, I don't expect Zach Cunningham to be in there coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, like most teams, Washington, they run the ball as a changeup. I mean, Gibson, McKissick, they're not bad players, but like you said, it's a totally different kind of game. It's much more of a coverage game. Now, of course, Brian Robinson was drafted, and yep, they got him in the third round out of Alabama to give them more of a power running back look. And of course, he got shot in the offseason, and I actually have not. Did he practice yesterday? I know he's close.
Close. He's not on the injury report. That's the thing. So,
yeah. So it's one of the, but how much of a difference is he going to make immediately? Probably not much. I mean, that gives them a little bit more of a run look, and they can be a little bit more balanced. But is that going to happen right away? I mean, I guess it's possible. But yeah, for the most part, like what those guys did, Cole and look, I thought Cole and Schobert did a heck of a job, obviously.
Yeah.
Totally different kind of game. Who knows? This could be one of those. I mean, how Vrabel is. I mean, you'll also have all these different personnel groupings for different matchups and stuff like that. But I guess at least he has some options with Cunningham out as opposed to outside linebacker.
Well, and it looks like there's going to be no Jahan Dotson for Washington. He's dealing with a hamstring injury and didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday. So I'd be surprised if Dotson's in there at this point. And, he's not a game breaker or anything, but he's been pretty good thus far, and he's got a lot of speed from that slot. We talked a lot about Jahan Dotson in the draft process, and that's a significant loss for Carson Wentz if he can't go.
It is. He's special, and I think he's going to be really good in this league, and it's a break for sure. But yeah, look, McLaurin is a stud.
Yeah.
They still have. I mean, I like Curtis Samuel a lot. So he's a little bit banged up too, but no, Dotson is a big break for the Titans. I do think Amadi, if he's good to go and can play like he did before the injury, then you feel probably better about their corner group than you have in a while, as they've been trying to find that third guy out there and not very successfully.
Coming up next, it is time for Call Your Shot Friday, a special edition of Call Your Shot Friday at 6:45 this week. Got Preds Pick the Click coming up at 8:45, so looking forward to all that. We'll take your bold predictions on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Chase McCabe here with you on this Friday morning. It's that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your bold predictions in the weekend of sports on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, how did we do last week in Call Your Shot Friday?
Well, I'll tell you. Let's see.
Sorry, I just found the open. So if you want to make it official,
let's make it official. It's Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road.
Sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means.
Shoot your shot.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
You know, they don't call Charles McCube the best in the business for no reason. My goodness.
What Never a give up.
Joe Rex Road, how did we do last week in Call Your Shot Friday?
Well, we got rotating call your shotters. So last week we had a guest call your shotter, Adam Vingan. Look at this. Derrick Henry, for the first time this season, has more than 100 yards rushing.
Nah, look at
Adam Vingan.
Vingan getting in there.
Now, he did say he will have at least 125. Didn't come. Looked good at halftime at 99. But
he's 3 yards off.
Yeah, I'll give him credit. And then Eagles will lose to the Jags was his shot, which actually for a while looked okay. Michelle also had Jags upsetting the Eagles by at least a touchdown. Man, there's a lot of Jags love.
Show. Good gracious.
She had Henry with 150 and two. Didn't quite get to that. She had Weaver and Simmons combining for 5 sacks. That's a shot.
That is.
And then Chris Rodriguez, 105 plus and a touchdown. Did I type that wrong? Did you say 150 and I typed out 105?
105 is a very specific number, but maybe.
It's very weird. I'm going to say that she said 150. Did he get 100? I don't think he had 100, did he?
I don't believe so.
Yeah. For me, NWI will have a TD catch in his hometown for the second straight year. Did not happen. Did not have a catch.
Didn't have a target.
Didn't have a target. On one particular target, he may have had that touchdown, but he was not targeted. I said neither Derrick Henry or Jonathan Taylor will get to 100. Wrong on that one. One of them I was right on. Look at this one. Denico Autry will pick off a Matt Ryan pass on a Jeff Simmons PBU at the line. Oh, my. Our guest at 7:15 took that play all for himself. But I feel like there's a little bit of love for that shot because Autry was so involved and they tipped a pass at the line. Like, it's kind of in the neighborhood.
Sure.
And then, you know, my last shot? The Lions will lose at home to Seattle.
This brings you too much joy.
Kind of low-hanging fruit there, Joe.
Oh, well, the Lions are going to be so good this year.
That's true. I did say they were going
to
be in the playoffs.
You're talking to the man that picked them to make the playoffs here, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, low-hanging fruit. You're the one who put it so low. My God.
You're welcome.
I'm going to step on it.
With that in mind.
Don't slip.
Chase McCabe, would you like to kick us off today with some called shots of your own?
Sure. I will do that.
Okay.
Derrick Henry returned to form last week. He was running angry. They were asking him about that. Eddie George was on Chase Willie and D-Mace yesterday, and when I brought that up, he started laughing, and he said, that a boy? That's what he has to do. So I'm going to say this. Derrick Henry will have 3 touchdowns.
Ooh.
I'm not going to specify rushing or passing.
Okay.
But 3 touchdowns this weekend for the Tennessee Titans.
I like that. 3 touchdowns for Derrick Henry. Very nicely done. Do you have any other called shots, or is that your one?
Oh, well, okay.
That's up to you.
Another one.
Ryan Porth used to call 11.
Yeah, Ryan Porth used to have 15. So
that doesn't surprise me at all. He also used to make $2 bets and brag about
it. That is true.
I will also say that the Tennessee Volunteers will beat the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh. Now we're talking.
Okay. Now we're getting there. I was going to say. Gonna say if you're just gonna say they're beating LSU, this is not calling a shot. Now that is calling a shot.
They're gonna beat Alabama.
That's certainly qualified.
I've convinced myself that they're gonna win against either Alabama or Georgia, and I've decided it's Alabama.
Wow, look at there. Now that certainly qualifies as a called shot. Chase McCabe coming in with some spicy ones to begin the program here today. Joe Rexroad, your called shots of the week.
All right, NWI will have a TD catch Sunday. This time, I'm telling you guys.
This is going to turn into your Anthony Firkser, but yes.
Yes, exactly. It already has. Derrick Henry will rush for 107 yards and a touchdown.
107, okay.
107 yards and a touchdown. Book that, too.
Okay.
Princeton Fant will have two touchdown catches at LSU on Saturday. And part of this shot is that this is why in the world we need editors badly. I wrote Noah Fant, and an editor caught it before it published this week. So I owe Princeton Fant that. He's going to get two touchdowns. And finally, in his Preds debut, Nino Niederreiter in the season opener, we'll have two goals.
Ooh, two of them coming up a little bit later today. I like that. By the way, have I told you that a Princeton fan is upset with me?
No.
I think I tweeted something in the Florida game, like the something to the effect of, I'm so tired of hearing about Princeton fan.
Oh, I remember that tweet.
Oh, yeah, he liked it. Princeton fan,
he's
upset with me.
He liked it. That's a total.
He knows you exist.
Oh, yeah, he's upset with this program here. So it's up to Joe Rexroad to smooth things over. All right, my called shots of the week. Jacob Warren, 40-plus yard touchdown for the Vols. 40-plus yarders for the tight end. What do you think of that one?
I think that we love tight ends on this show. We play for the Vols.
I think we do. Scoop and score for Byron Young for a touchdown on the defensive side of the ball for the Vols. So scoop and score. Okay. They force the fumble. Byron Young picks it up and runs it in the end zone on the defensive side. The Green Bay Packers in London. Listen, it was ugly last week, and they were lucky to escape against Bailey Zappi and the mighty New England Patriots. Not going to be so lucky this time. They're going to destroy the Giants. They'll win by 15-plus in London. Get-right game for the Green Bay Packers. Tanner Jeannot will get the first penalty of the season for the Predators. I'll just go ahead and call your shot. It's a fight. An early fight for Tanner Jeannot, the first penalty of the season for the Predators. And finally, sticking with the Predators win both games in Prague with a combined score of 7-3. 7-3, the combined score in both games, and they start the season off 2-0. So obviously, you pick up 4 points this weekend, Joe Rexroad. That'd be a pretty good way to start things off if you're the Nashville Predators, and I think they will.
That would make for a pretty good trip. You know, your Packers optimism is I mean, I think that they're going to be fine, but it's. I tell you what, man, just remember how bad they look Sunday.
Sometimes you can see things coming, and this is one of those I can see coming on Sunday. Okay. I think they're going to play very well in this game. And quite frankly, I know the Giants are 3-1. They beat the Titans. I still don't think they're very good.
We'll see. We will see. I don't know, man. Those London games can be wacky. That's good. Those are good shots. Byron Young with the scoop and score. I like the specific shot there. I don't know that Tanner's, first penalty of the season is a huge shot, but it's also
specific. If you get the first penalty, I mean, you could have somebody with a slashing penalty 5 seconds in the game, Joe.
That's true. No, that's true. Being specific is good. We have to remember, man, we have to remember Chase's shot. Have like a little ceremony for him if it happens.
Thank you very much.
Of course, if it does happen, this whole the world might stop spinning, so we may not be able to do that.
Our show will totally shut down. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Titans. Continue to look ahead at the matchup against the Commanders. Take your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Titans defensive tackle Tyre Tart coming up at 7:15 as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.